The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Well, it's another day, so a whole new set of outrages. The government has just expanded its ability to unconstitutionally spy on you. Happy Friday. Yesterday, the House renewed the FISA surveillance program that collects data, email, text messages, photos, without a warrant for another 6 years. This is on American citizens. The bill was originally approved by Congress in 2008 under the promise of protecting Americans against the big bad terrorists. But that's a flawed platform. There will always be terrorists. So we are going to now violate everyone's rights in order to keep our country safe? Yes, we have to. This is why Justin Amash offered up an alternative bill, the USA Rights Act, which would have required federal agents to get a warrant to search through data that was secretly collected. So it's a crazy old-fashioned idea. You have to have a judge say, according to the evidence that you have now given me, I'm going to let you go ahead and look through data. It failed, of course. Now, Trump was against the FISA extension, tweeting, House votes on controversial FISA Act today. This is the act that may have been used to help with the help of the discredited and phony dossier to so badly surveil and abuse the Trump campaign by the previous administration and others. But that was so 7:33 in the morning. 2 hours later, he flipped his position, tweeting, today's vote is about foreign surveillance and foreign bad guys on foreign land. We need it. Get smart. Oh, okay. The bill is now going to the Senate. It is expected to pass. Rand Paul, who will be with us in 30 minutes, is already talking about filibustering the vote, as is Mike Lee and others. In fact, a few Democrats might join. Because here's our E Pluribus Unum. From many, one. We used to melt into each other. There used to be something we could agree on. And what was that something? Things like the Fourth Amendment. You know, you need a search warrant. You can't just go gather evidence against every single American. You have to have a reason. A warrant. We used to agree on the Bill of Rights. Do we anymore? We either choose the Constitution or we don't, and we have nothing. Our representatives, our Senate, our president, from both sides of the parties, both sides of the aisle, they continue to make the wrong choice. The real question is, will Americans follow them down that path?
It's Friday, January 12th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to hear from you today. Boy, do I want to hear from you. We have Rand Paul in half an hour. We have Bill O'Reilly next hour, and in hour number three, I hope to be able to speak to Mia Love, because she's one from one of those crap hole countries, you know. I really want to talk to you because I was outraged last night. I really was, and I have, you know what? I've given up on the whole outrage thing, and I've given up on the certainty thing. I don't want to be certain of anything anymore. I don't want to be absolutely convinced that I am right anymore. Because that doesn't get us anywhere. Certainty is a flaw in us. You know, even Jesus, as he's hanging on the cross, he wasn't certain. Oh my gosh, how dare you say that? See, I told you Glenn Beck wasn't a Christian. My God, why have you forsaken me? If that's not doubt, I don't know what is. Even Jesus had a moment of doubt. He wasn't forsaken. It was part of the plan. But as he has nails driven through him, the human side comes out and he doubts. If the most perfect human being ever to walk the earth doubted even for a fraction of a second, who am I to be certain? And once I enter a conversation with somebody, when I am absolutely certain, well, then they're idiots. They have nothing to offer. They're part of the problem. And I don't listen. And today I find myself getting close to being certain again. Mr. President, there are millions of people that support you. And there are millions of people that don't. That's a fact of life. It'll always be that. But there are millions of people who want to like you, who want to support you. There are millions of people who defend you every single day. And every single day, it's like you get a punch in the face because, oh, crap, what? I'm a very stable genius. Shut up. Shut up. Who says that? FISA yesterday. How do I know who you are, sir? How do I know who you are? Your tweets yesterday. This is very dangerous on FISA. This is what was used to get me. And you were right. 2 hours later. Oh, I've put the fix in myself. Oh, you did in 2 hours? Wow. That's really, you're efficient. How do I defend? How do I even know who you are? How do I do it? This week, if you are a Trump supporter, you have had to spend your credibility. You have had to go to friends, and you know I'm a very stable genius. You know nobody who is very stable or a genius would ever say something like that. Okay, all right. Well, it's Donald Trump. Okay, how many times, Mr. President, are you going to make us say, I know, but it's Donald Trump? In the last week, 10 days, we've had to defend my button is bigger than yours. We've had to defend all of the stuff with Bannon and Fire and Fury, which led into us having to defend I'm a very stable genius, which led people into defend your moving of the most dishonest fake news award show that apparently you're doing. You're the president, man. Which led us into having to defend DACA. Wait, are you for it? Are you against it? Were you lying to them or were you lying to us? When you said you trust the people in the room, the slimiest people of Congress, the leaders of Congress, were in your room and you said in front of them, God and the country, you trust them. And no matter what they send you, even if you disagree with it, you will sign it because you trust them to do the right. Well, none of the other people in America trust them. Well, I didn't mean that. Well, I don't know, because everything is I didn't mean, I didn't say, I don't know anymore. Also, this week, we've been so busy defending other things, we didn't even see this. He's canceled his trip to London. The president has canceled his trip to London. Now, let's just do the math on that. Why do you think he canceled it? Because the streets of London will be on fire when he comes. Our greatest ally. The streets will be on fire. Well, they're just stirring things up. Okay, okay, all right. They're stirring things up. So why doesn't the president just come out and say, not going to London today? You know, I'm the president. I'm dealing with other things. No, what he says is this, quote, the reason I canceled my trip to London is that I'm not a big fan of the Obama administration having sold perhaps the best located and finest embassy in London for peanuts, only to build one in an off location for $1.2 billion. Bad deal. Wanted me to cut the ribbon. No. Bull crap. I'm at dinner last night. And the dinner conversation is about FISA. I'm having dinner with really smart people. And we're having a conversation about FISA. And people at the table are doing their best. You know, let's give people the benefit of the doubt. It's like Pat said yesterday on this program. You know, if you look at his policies, you know, the tax cut wasn't great. But at least we have it. The mandate is gone. I don't know what happens now because of that, but at least it's a step in the right direction. He did the Jerusalem thing. There are many things, Mr. President, that I support. But I am embarrassed to say I support his policies because everything else that goes around it. I'm sorry if I'm being too honest on how I feel, because maybe you don't feel this way at all. But man, I am. I don't know how you're doing it and having any credibility with your friends, because we would go crazy. We'd go crazy if the president of the United States was a Democrat and doing the things that he has been saying. I'm not even talking about his policies, just shut up. Shut up. This crap hole comment. I'm at dinner. I had just worked all night on the FISA thing, worked on all of the other things that are going down. I get into the car with my wife. And I go on Twitter and I said, no way, no frickin' way. She said, what? And I said, I don't even want to tell you. I cannot be true. But of course, the president has denied it today. Do you really believe that? You know what? Here's what he said, in case you don't know, while he was talking about, you know, immigration reform. Why do we have all of these people coming from these, and I'm cleaning it up, crap hole countries? First of all, Mr. President, you ever been to Haiti? Doubt it. It's really not your speed. Not enough golden faucets in the country. Haiti is a crap hole country. You know why? Because of people, quite honestly, like the Clinton Foundation. because of our government supporting the crap hole administrators and government of Haiti. Because of people like the Red Cross who will not put strings on the money over there and say, no, I'm sorry, we're going to spend it. We're not going to give it to your corrupt people. You know what Haiti is? Haiti is a country that is filled with misery. It is a country filled with slavery. It is filled with people, human beings, moms, dads, children, that are suffering stuff that we should have eradicated in the 1500s, and we didn't, because of politicians being corrupt. It's full of misery. And it's full of people just like you and just like me who just want a chance. Why are all these people coming from crap hole countries? Because we didn't used to be a crap hole country, and they think that they could have a chance here. I want those people. Yesterday people were defending this from six ways to Sunday. And I'm sorry, but I don't understand it. Well, he wasn't talking about the people. Okay, put yourself in 1938. President says, why do we have to take all these Jews from that Nazi country? Is he talking about the Nazi country? Or is he talking about taking all the Jews? That is clearly an anti-Semitic phrase. Why do we have to take all these Jews from that Nazi country? Yes, he may be against the Nazis, but he's also making a comment about all those Jews. Don't try to defend it. You know what made this worse last night? Is Mercury 1 and Operation OUR was on the ground in Haiti last night. They were on the ground in Haiti last night at the request of their new president to try to get some of the worst offenders of sexual slavery off the street. And I thought to myself, how is Tim and our team facing their president tonight, who's trying to do the right thing? How is he facing them when our president calls their country a crap hole? Mr. President, we want to support you. We thank you for the things that you have done that some of us didn't think you would do. But please, for the love of God, shut your mouth and just do the job. Okay, now that I've said all that, if I have a single listener left, it's just you and me. Congratulations. Studies show that security systems deter burglars, and it is a fact. There is a burglary every 8 seconds in America. Think about it. I mean, burglars aren't going to give up because somebody's house has a burglary, an alarm system. They're going to just go find somebody who doesn't. So may I recommend that you get a truly brilliant security system built by SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe, ridiculously smart, and its sensors protect every access point in your home. And if a burglar so much as tries to break in, the sirens go off, the police are called, and in some of their systems, a camera has taken a picture of who's trying to break in your house, so you have it for police. SimpliSafe, 24/7 monitoring is only $14.99 a month, and you are not locked into a contract, and you own the system. You also have a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it. If you don't love it, ship it back. I mean, I don't know anybody. Well, they're not going to do that to anybody else because they wire your house. SimpliSafe. Go to SimpliSafeBeck.com. Go there now. SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
The phones are ablaze right now, and I want to take your phone calls today. I really want to hear your voice, but I don't want to cheat anybody out of time. And so we're gonna wait until the next break to take some phone calls, so you have a chance to speak. Also, I have Rand Paul coming up in just a few minutes. He's going to talk about the renewing of the FISA bill, which is a disgrace. It has been made worse. It is expanding now, and we have to choose constitution or no constitution. We're going to talk about facts, and then we'll talk about feelings as well.
Glenn,
coming up.
Beck, Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Senator Rand Paul is joining us now, a friend of the program, or we're a friend of his at least, and glad to have him on, and glad to hear that he is able to continue to do work and to be on the phone with us. Rand, we have been really concerned. This audience has been very concerned about your health. How are you feeling?
You know, I'm starting to get better every day, and I appreciate that, and appreciate really people from across the country being concerned about my health.
You know, I've only had a bruised rib. What do you have, three broken ribs?
Actually, I had six broken ribs.
Six.
Three of them displaced, meaning that
they're
actually not really aligned anymore. Then I had fluid on the lung. I had pneumonia twice, and sort of, you know, I mean, 5 or 6 weeks just of really excruciating pain trying to even sit up. I had to have assistance just to sit up.
So, Senator, this has been bothering me. I mean, since this story broke, first it was like no big deal. Then it was like, oh, maybe a little bit. And then the details started to trickle out. What happened with the media where we weren't getting the story? It was, I mean, did you not know you had those broken ribs right away?
I think the media was obsessed with sort of trying to make it my fault somehow. So the major liberal rag in Kentucky, the Louisville Courier, printed stories saying Rand Paul, apparently not a good neighbor, sort of had it coming, deserved what he got. And so it was really, it's the kind of stuff that the left seems to have great sympathy for victims until the victims happen to be conservatives.
I've never seen anything like it, and I don't know why this guy. I don't care. I mean, I do care if you're a senator. To me, it makes it much, much worse, especially if it was politically motivated at all. But I don't care if you were just a guy living on a street. That's a major attack. Why isn't this guy having major legal problems?
I think in the end there will be legal consequences. The machinery of justice sometimes is slow, but I think in the end there will be a just outcome and some punishment for this. But I guess the thing is, and I don't know if you remember, but about a month ago my wife finally just had enough, and she said, "I can't stand them attacking you every day."
Your phone is kind of weird. I'm sorry. She said what?
She just couldn't stand them attacking me every day. It was like I got mugged once, you know, in the yard, and then I got mugged by the media every day, implying somehow that I sort of had it coming and that violence was justified. And I guess they don't really quite realize this. They snicker and smile and think it's kind of funny. But, you know, I was on the ball field being shot at by a guy who shot over 100 shots at us, almost killed Steve Scalise. And then 6 months later, an attack to my yard. And so really, it's just not that funny.
I cannot believe, I mean, we were on the air. If this would have happened to anyone on the left, the country would have stopped. And the media just kind of took it like, yeah, well, you know, it was a lawnmower thing. No, it's not. And even if it was, there's a problem here. Anyway, yesterday, the president tweeted that that the FISA thing that was going through the House was the kind of stuff used with the, he said, bogus dossier from Fusion GPS to surveil him and spy on him. And it was horrible. 2 hours later, he says, well, I put the right language in there, so it's all good and it's patriotic and you got to do this. Let's get smart. I think this is a nightmare.
See, the people in the swamp, I think, try to convince the president, and the swamp kind of pushes back Paul Ryan and others, they push back and they say, well, we're putting reforms in there, and all the problems where people abuse the system to go after you, the Strzok and their mistress and that guy Bruce Orr with his wife doing the Oppo research, we've fixed all that, and it's safe now. And it really isn't at all. They did fake reform. There really isn't going to be a warrant requirement. So really, here's this program. It's supposed to be collecting information on foreigners in foreign lands. And actually, I agree with that. Mike Lee and I are the two biggest advocates for getting a warrant. And both of us have said we're fine with the program as long as the millions of Americans that are caught up accidentally and incidentally in this program, the millions of Americans who are in the database, as long as you don't go trolling through that database, you know, looking for IRS problems or looking for campaign, finance problems or looking for just people you don't like because they're of the opposite party. And that stuff happens. It's been, you know, Senator Lee mentioned this the other day. He says, since FDR, every president has used the intelligence community against their opponents, all the way through Nixon.
Right.
And really, Obama did it to attack the Tea Party with the IRS. Yep. And they're still doing it now, but they're not doing it at Trump's behest. They're actually doing it to attack Trump.
So is there a chance that you and Mike Lee, and I understand there's some, good Democrats that are talking about joining you guys. Is there a chance this doesn't pass in the Senate?
We had the initial vote, and we had 4 Republicans and 23 Democrats. So we only had 27 votes. The 4 Republicans were Mike Lee, myself, Jerry Moran, and Steve Daines. Those are the only 4 Republicans so far that have shown any interest in trying to stop this. So we really, if you ask the American people, if we ask your audience, I know what kind of answer we get, but let's just say we ask everybody, even those out there listening to public radio, we say, do you think that the government should be able to look at your personal information, listen to your phone calls without a warrant? It would be a hell no from everybody.
Everybody.
80% of the public. But in Washington, 80% of the public, they just don't listen to us. In fact, when they hear that, they do what is very common in Washington is they do fake reform. They do some stuff, and so we fix the problem. In reality, this bill is worse than the current law because under this bill, they say that data that is collected on foreigners that accidentally gets Americans can be used against Americans in a court of law. So imagine this. Imagine they just feel like they can troll through there, and they say you detected something, some paint that you had at the office that you brought home and painted your house, which would be a tax violation because you deducted the paint for business. All of a sudden, they can figure out some kind of incidental tax thing. It can be used in domestic court now. That's what this new law says. And, I think it is worth filibustering. I think that the Bill of Rights, the 4th Amendment, your right to privacy, is something so sacred, so important. It's really what John Adams said was the spark that led to the revolution was James Otis fighting against General Lawrence, fighting against excessive and overbearing government.
Yep. I will tell you this, that I think, I've been asking for a while, e pluribus unum. What's our unum anymore? Our unum really is the Bill of Rights. Those common sense things that you ask yourself, should the government be able to just spy on you and listen to your phone calls? The unum is no. We all agree. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, left, right. 90% of Americans would say, no, they don't have a right to do that. That's our unum. And we have taken our unum, our Bill of Rights, and we're just dismantling it. To have a group of Republicans and Democrats stand up in the Senate and filibuster on that right, on that unum, I think will connect.
And here's a good way to look at it. A lot of people get caught up in this and they're not sure which way to think because they think, gosh, I know my local policeman, I know my local FBI agent, and they're good people. I would say exactly the same thing. Every individual FBI agent I've met out in the field has been a good person who I think that tries to apply the law. In fact, I think the local FBI agents and the local police understand the 4th Amendment much better than they do in Washington.
Yeah.
But what should scare us all is when we see someone like Strzok, his girlfriend, his mistress, talking to somebody named Andy, which is probably the second in command at the FBI, and plotting at work on their work phone on how to stop Donald Trump from being president, and then talking about some kind of insurance policy. And then you flip over to the Department of Justice, and a guy, Bruce Orr's wife, worked for the opposition research and hired a British spy, that was paid for by Hillary Clinton, and all of a sudden we're supposed to believe that all of these men and women are angels and that they're not going to spy on us if we don't have an extra scrutiny on what they do?
There are so many distractions now that it's hard to concentrate on the important things. We had another one yesterday. A lot of people said that, you know, what the president was doing 2 days ago when he was sitting down with members of Congress and saying, I trust you guys to come up with a plan. A lot of people who supported him said, well, he's just playing Congress and he's playing the media and he's going to play, you know, good cop. Well, he just flushed all that down the toilet last night with the comments being released. You know, why do we let all these people in here from crap hole countries? I personally am just disgusted by that. Any comment on that, Senator?
Not that in particular, but I would say that I think something is going to come out of this. And I've always blamed any kind of progress forward on immigration, whether it's border security or whether it's figuring out who can come to the country, on the Democrats' unwillingness to compromise. So right now there's a bunch of kids, and I actually do have sympathy for the DACA kids, and I will vote for a compromise. But the Democrats do have to compromise. They are going to have to vote in favor of additional border security. They're going to have to vote in favor of having a more merit-based, where we admit the people to the country who we need, want, and will work. And then I think the chain migration
is there.
Is on both sides?
You know, that is the defenders of Donald Trump on the crap hole country thing, which I'm sorry, I don't buy into any of the excuses of it. But what they'll say is, hey, we need to know if these people are any good because they're coming from a crap hole country. Well, you know, you can come from Denmark and still not want to work and still want things for free. And I mean, Denmark is giving away things for free much more than Haiti.
Way to justify that. I'm just saying that
we have
700 million people that want to come to our country.
Yeah.
Can't have all 700 million. And so the thing is, and here's the thing about merit-based, is that we need people who are software engineers and PhDs, but we also do need workers.
Yes.
So, for example, if we had no immigration into our country, if some of the people who want to close the borders, we'd have no tomatoes, we'd have no vegetables, we'd have all of the things that have to be picked in the field. Unfortunately, we have destroyed the work ethic in our country.
Yes.
And so the people who couldn't do that in our country are sitting at home getting a government wage for non-work. But really, our country would come to a standstill without allowing some immigration. And immigration can be a strength to a country. It needs to be done legally and appropriately. And so I've always said I'm actually for more legal immigration and less illegal immigration.
So I agree with you on that. And I wanted to kind of point out that I think what you were saying was that the Democrats will have to compromise on merit-based, which every country on the planet does, except for us. And do you think that they will actually go and look? I mean, we need AI visas. We need a Manhattan Project, quite honestly, for safe ASI. We need the greatest minds to come here so we can develop that, and it's not developed over in China or elsewhere. But that requires merit-based stuff. Would the Democrats ever do it?
I think part of merit-based also implies, and one of the things we need to do that we used to do, is we should link it to work and sponsorship.
Yes.
So when my wife's grandmother came over here from Ireland in the 1920s, she came over and she was required to work, and if she didn't work, she was sent back. So we had some tough rules, but people knew they had to come, and people did. People were hungry for work, and even the hardest work at the lowest wage was better in our country than another country.
Yep.
Because there was always the hope of progress, the hope of success and moving up the socioeconomic ladder.
Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, we're glad that you're feeling better. If there's anything that any of us can do to help you, please let us know. Besides our prayers, we appreciate the hard work you're doing, and thanks for joining us. God bless.
Thanks, Glenn.
By the way, just want to point out, he said his grandmother in the 1920s came from Ireland at that time. Many said Ireland was a crap hole country, and why are we letting those people in? Well, because some of them turn out to be really good constitutional senators. Fresh new year has begun, and if you're setting new goals for your business, it is extremely difficult to reach them without the right people on your team, and that's why you should use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter posts your job to over 100 of the world's leading job boards with just a single click, and then ZipRecruiter actively looks for the most qualified candidates and invites them to apply. Now, unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It goes out and finds them. It's smart software. So 80% of employers get somebody who's really qualified in the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, you can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Let's go to Mike in North Carolina. Comments on the news today, Mike. How are you feeling? What are you thinking?
Good morning, Glenn. Just thinking on the issue with Trump saying
crap
that
hole.
Haiti
yep.
is a crap hole, right? But yet you agreed with him, you know, that it is that way. You said that it is, and gave your explanation why.
Yeah, okay. So the government has made it into a crap hole. However, that has nothing to do with the people, and that was what he was questioning. Why are we taking all of these people from this crap hole? You know, well, we take those because those are the poor, huddled, you know, tired masses yearning to breathe free. But we should see, you know, make sure that they have something to offer and want a better life and not bring that attitude with us. But that happens even in Denmark. There will be people, there are more people that get free stuff from the government in the Netherlands than there are in Haiti.
Right. Well, I mean, my thing is I don't understand, you know, I understand, but I thought you were more upset with him calling them, you know, calling that place that.
I am upset because I don't believe that he was calling that place alone. He was questioning the people. And the reason why is because if I said, what are we doing? Why are we bringing all these Jews in from Nazi Germany? Yes, I'm recognizing that Nazi Germany is a bad place, but I'm questioning the people. And then to follow it up and say, we need more people from Denmark. No, why? Why? Those people understand more socialism than the people of Haiti do.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Here's the reality. 200 million Americans now consume their news via social media. That's 75% of the country. You get your news off of Facebook or Twitter or something like that. The gatekeepers of information have now evolved. They were the local paper, then radio, then TV. Now they are social media. I'm going to go against the narrative here for a second. What a surprise. We've heard a lot lately about the power of the internet and, you know, how it's given power to those who want to spread fake news, whether it's the Russians or the Nazis or the radical leftists, whatever. They all now have the ability to push their narrative more easily to whomever they want. But here's the flip side of that coin. Never in the history of mankind has so much information been available to the average person, no matter where they live on planet Earth. In this day and age, there is no excuse for people falling and falling down into this wormhole of lies because they failed to be their own fact checker and truth finder. A bot will tweet a meme. It should not be able to pull the wool over your eyes. If this were 100 years ago, maybe, but this is the age of information. Take the next step. Check it out. So with all that's being said, why are social media platforms looking to block certain points of view? I am not a fan of Project Veritas. I shouldn't say this. I admire what they try to do. I don't admire how they've gone about it. But they released an undercover video yesterday that, if it is what it purports to be, showed Twitter employees talking about plans to filter a certain, quote, way of talking. A Twitter engineer explained how the algorithm works. He said, quote, yeah, you look for Trump or America, and then you have like 5,000 keywords that describe a redneck. Then you look and parse all of the messages and the pictures, and then you look for stuff that matches that stuff. He continues on, quote, I would say the majority of it are all for Republicans, end quote. Wow. Is that true? We don't know, because it came from Project Veritas and they have no credibility because of the way they've conducted themselves in the past. Now, I get censoring violence, but ideas are absolutely off limits. The real question now is, who is telling Twitter what kind of talk is acceptable? In a leaked Media Matters memo, they called for this exact kind of work. Their memo was called the Strategic Plan of Action. David Brock's Progressive Hit Squad detailed how they were going to operate in the new era, and it talks very specifically about how they have already begun working with Facebook, Twitter, and Google. Under the heading Collaborating with Social Media Platforms, the Media Matters memo states, quote, social media platforms need help in identifying vulnerabilities and crafting solutions. To this end, Media Matters will serve as their partner, speaking to them in their language of big data and encouraging changes based on what we see happening in the landscape, end quote. So, who really are the modern day gatekeepers for information? Social media companies like Twitter? Not really. Apparently, liberal progressive smear artists like David Brock and Media Matters, because they are the ones telling them what is and what isn't acceptable. In this day and age, you must do your own homework. You must be your own fact checker. It is never more important than right now.
It's Friday, January 12th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, you haven't had a chance to talk to Bill O'Reilly here for a few weeks to see what's up. Hello, welcome, Bill O'Reilly.
Beck, and how did you get through that period of time? I mean, I'm usually kind of your muse guiding you in the right direction. How did you do it?
I was happy. I was content. And then suddenly today, it looks like the world is on fire. And I'm like, oh, I'm Bill O'Reilly. So they must be connected somehow or another.
Some of your staff told me that you were on BillO'Reilly.com every day in the hiatus, so therefore you knew which way to go.
So, Bill, you and I have a feeling, may disagree on this, because I like what the president has done in some of his policies. Gorsuch, the Paris Accords, the tax bill. Thank you for relief on taxes. Not what I would have wanted, but I'll take it. Congratulations. Thank you for that. I can't think of it. There's like six or seven really big things that he's done that I'm really happy about. But I can't take him talking anymore. I'm tired of defending the stuff, and I'm not a big defender, but I can't imagine what the average American who voted for him is like.
I believe he's losing support because he is too bombastic. Word of the day. So we don't disagree on this. In fact, I just finished writing a column for The Hill. It basically says, look, the president's going to undo all his successes if he continues the excess of rhetoric. So, you know, I understand Trump probably better than anybody in the country, I say humbly, because I've known him for so long. He doesn't think about the unintended consequences or repercussions of what he says. So he's talking like he's still a real estate magnate. And that's how real estate magnates talk. Oh, why do you want to get involved with that asshole place? That's how they talk.
All right? So there were a lot of people. There were a lot of people on Twitter last night. They're like, "That's why we like him. He talks like the guy at the end of the bar stool." No, well, it's not a bar.
That's what Waters said on Fox.
Yeah, but it isn't a bar. It isn't a bar. I didn't hire that guy.
Okay, look. The supporters are going to be the supporters. They're going to sit, rationalize and say whatever they want to justify what Donald Trump does. So that whatever they say, okay, let's consider it, but let's all get together and say what's good for the country, right?
Yes.
So is it good for the country to call Haiti, El Salvador, and some African countries assholes?
No.
No. Do we all have agreement there? Are there any dissenters there? So that's not good for the country for a president to do it. Now, I make the point that Ronald Reagan called the Soviet Union the evil empire, all right? But when he was criticized, and he was immediately criticized by the Reagan haters, they made the point, well, we're not calling the Russian people evil. We're saying the system is evil. Therefore, Reagan got very, you know, he won that. He won it. But here, Haiti hasn't done anything to us, or El Salvador, or the African countries, and they're populated by people of color. And the narrative already is that Trump's a white supremacist. So basically, Donald Trump goes over to Media Matters and David Brock and says, hey, I'm going to give you another one. Here.
Yeah, exactly right.
I'm going to give it to you.
Exactly right.
So that all of the accomplishments of the African-American employment, which is now the lowest it's been in 45 years, are gone.
Yeah.
He obliterates his own
good
accomplishment.
He had people this week when he went and sat down with the Republicans and Democrats on DACA. And he said, look, I'll sign anything. Just give it to me. I trust you guys. There were a lot of people who were Trump supporters who weren't surprisingly outraged by that. They said, you know what? He's playing them. He's going to.
Yeah, he's playing them. Yeah. Sure.
Well, I don't believe that. But OK, all right. So if that were true, he's just blown all of that. If that was his big strategy, he's just blown all of it.
I don't know if he's blown it or not, because I think that there's so much desperation on the part of the Democratic Party to get some DACA relief so they have something to campaign on this year, that I think they can still forge a deal. But part of the deal has to be the wall. And he's not going to back away from that. He can't. But look, I don't understand why after a year of getting his face kicked in by his opponents, the hate Trumpers, why he just doesn't pull back and be the guy that he was in that meeting. You know, that was an orchestrated meeting where he had, the Democrats and Republicans. He was in charge. He was measured. He didn't say anything bombastic. Well, if you can do it there, then you got to do it in other places.
I don't know if he's fired.
I think he gets angry. I think his emotions rule and all of that.
Yeah, I don't think he's disciplined enough. He's not disciplined enough.
No, he isn't.
So what do you, people want to say, well, he wasn't talking about the people. Okay.
Well, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
No.
Bill.
If you look at the... No, you got to bring context to the...
No, I will bring context. Like, why are we bringing all these Jews in here from Nazi Germany?
No, it's the same thing. No. This was a debate about Norway,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
As opposed to...
Right.
Third world nations. Trump campaigned on the fact that all immigrants coming here should be self-sufficient.
I agree.
And immediately help the country.
I agree.
That's what he campaigned on.
So Denmark and Norway, you think those citizens know how to be self-sufficient when they have free everything?
All right, coming now,
I would rather
into the weeds. He's
no, I'm not getting into the weeds.
We want educated people. Look, Norway and Denmark have one of the highest educated populations in the world. Their skilled workforce is top-notch. If you look at the context of it.
Bill, let me give you some context. Quote from Donald Trump Jr. quote. Oh, shoot. Now I just, that's stupid internet. Hang on just a second. Hang on.
Yes.
Okay, here it is. Like him. This is, he's talking about his dad. Here it is. Him. I'm a big believer in the racehorse theory. He's an incredibly accomplished guy. My mother is incredibly accomplished. She's an Olympian. So I'd like to believe that I'm genetically predisposed to be better than average. This is eugenics, and this is discredited, but the Trump family believes it. He believes in this.
All right.
So when he's talking about Denmark and the Netherlands, because they're predisposed genetically, it is part of his fabric.
I can't read the mind. I can't say that's not true. It's, you can't prove the, disprove a negative. But in the context of what the discussion was in the White House, all right, the context was Trump wants people who are educated and skilled to come in, and the Democratic Party, they go back to give me your tired and poor. That's a huge gulf.
And I have to tell you something. I go back there. Because, Bill, let me say.
My sympathies are almost with you.
Let me say something. Bill, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. The Democrats always read that like, oh, give me the worst of the worst, and I'm going to hold them and hug them. No, that whole thing is a challenge. Give me the people that the world says is worthless. And I'm telling you that there's enough in them that they want to succeed, that they want to be better, that they don't want to live in a crap hole country. They want to succeed. I'm going to give them a chance by getting out of their way. So I go right back to that same poem and say, yeah, I would rather have people who are hungry to learn, hungry to change their station in life, than a bunch of people from Sweden that have just as great of chance of saying, well, I want more government to give me. How come we're not taxing the rich more here?
Okay. And then my sympathies are probably more toward you than getting the fat cats in here. But that's the debate, all right? And if you look at the context of the debate, that the Republicans and Trump say 50% of immigrant families in America are now receiving entitlements from the government.
Right, and that is...
We got to stop that.
And that is...
That's the debate.
And... Yes and no. It is the debate. It is a separate debate that we need to have standards. But you don't say that there's no one in crap hole countries. Why are we taking all these crap hole country people? No. Why are we taking people who don't have something to offer and want to live off of the sweat of other people's brow? Those people come from all different countries. I contend the Western countries are probably giving us some of the worst people because they want universal health care, universal daycare, universal housing, universal food, universal hugs. I mean, those people are used to that.
Well, I think we can have a fair system here that take achievers and people who need a hand up. I think it's possible to do it. But right now we have two separate camps. And if you do, if you look at the context of the remarks, Trump was just boosting in a bombastic way his point of view. Why are we taking people who are going to come here and we're going to have to support them for 10 or 15 years until they get up to speed? That was what he was talking about. Okay. He wasn't making judgments about how good or bad the people were, but that's not the Christian point of view. And I suspect that maybe some of your opinion is taken from, as Christian, Judeo-Christian ethic, we have an obligation to help the downtrodden.
Yeah, no, okay, hang on just a second. I'm going to come back to that here in a second. No, not really. I mean, yes, we have to take care of people, but the best way to take care of people is to be a strong lifeboat. And that doesn't help. You can't just keep taking people in that you have to help. I want to take people who maybe are disadvantaged, maybe are not, but have something to offer. And that could be from their brains to their hard work ethic. And that you can't judge from which country they're coming from. That is, judge a man by the content of his character, not the color of his skin or what part of the world he comes from. Back in just a second with Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. Fresh New Year has begun, and if you're setting new goals for your business, you got to reach them by hiring the right people. ZipRecruiter has transformed how you go about finding the right people. You could post on 100 different job sites yourself, but that's not what ZipRecruiter does. It not only makes it really easy, you can post on 100 of the world's leading job boards with a single click, but that's not all. ZipRecruiter then actively goes out and searches the internet for the most qualified candidates and says, hey, do you know about this job? You should apply for this. The other hiring sites, they just wait for people to roll in. This is why 80% of the employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day, because the people who are qualified for your job through ZipRecruiter, they're notified. It's the smartest way to hire, and you can find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Welcome back to the program. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. Bill, I think we've covered everything we need to cover on the crap hole countries thing. I think we both agree that it was wrong to say. I think equally agree on that. And we both can see that what the policies are, I think we agree on. It's just... is there anything we can do to get him to shut the pie hole? Just shut up. Shut up.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I just think he is a guy who reacts off the cuff emotionally. And as you pointed out, doesn't really have the discipline to pull back on it.
Yeah.
You know, you go from one president, Obama, who was unbelievably disciplined,
yes,
supremely
yes.
disciplined.
Yes.
And some of his views and what he tried to do as president were really destructive for the nation.
Yes.
But you'd never be able to lay it on him. Now you go the
opposite.
Yeah.
You go the opposite.
The guy who's actually getting stuff done.
Yep.
In some areas.
Yep.
I mean, the ISIS story is one of the greatest one of the greatest scandals of American journalism. ISIS was defeated in less than a year by the United States primarily.
Yep.
And you would never know it by the reportage.
It's just all of a sudden like they didn't exist.
Yes.
It's all of a sudden they didn't exist. Okay.
So for 8 years, they ran wild under Barack Obama,
yeah.
killing tens of thousands of people in heinous ways, causing all of this migration
yep.
to Europe,
yep.
which has disrupted the whole continent. And
defeated.
In less than a year, they're out.
They're out.
And you don't hear about it.
Yep. Back in a second with more from Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So last 10 minutes with Bill O'Reilly, and Bill, we have so much to cover. I'd like to just do kind of a quick list here with you and just get your quick thoughts on things.
All right.
Things that have happened since the last time we talked. First of all, let's start with the closest, FISA yesterday, the FISA bill. What are your thoughts on the renewal of this and the expansion of being able to not only eavesdrop on Americans, but use that information against Americans, even if we don't have a warrant?
You know, I really don't. I'd have to see what the wording is and all that, and I don't have it in front of me. You know, my basic thing is that you need a judge to sign off on these warrants, that I don't trust the FBI or the NSA to do this stuff on their own. That's
correct.
My basic philosophy.
Okay. Next, Steve Bannon. and the whole debacle. Let's start at the beginning. Fire and Fury.
I read the book. I wasn't impressed. I was bored throughout. The first chapter basically says that Trump really didn't want to win the election, and told his wife that, okay, based on no sourcing. This is very little sourcing in the book.
Yes.
Except for Bannon. But I covered that campaign as closely as anyone, and I can tell you that Donald Trump campaigned as hard as any human being on this earth.
Yes.
Okay, so why, if he didn't want to win, would he do that? Why would he do five appearances the last day, the last one at midnight in Michigan?
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't stack.
Yeah.
So, I think you want to read it, but I didn't get much out of it.
I thought that's not even worth talking about. I will tell you this, that I found the book the opposite. I found it intriguing, and it found it exactly the same way you did. There's not a lot of sourcing here except for Bannon. So I strip everything out and go, well, an interesting story. Who knows if that's true?
Right. The way that this was assembled was basically an essay by the author.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
It's an essay.
Correct.
So, okay. You want to believe it, believe it. You don't.
Correct. What I found interesting, though, was that this was on the record with Bannon, and Bannon was trying to separate himself and say, look, Trumpism is really Bannonism, which I disagree with. And here's what it really stands for. I don't know if Wolf knew that he was being used by Bannon, but the hero always seems to turn out to be Bannon, and the bad guys always seem to be Bannon's enemies. And I think Bannon miscalculated, because I think he thought Roy Moore was going to win, and this would come out and show that he's really the brains, and it's done the opposite.
Yeah, look, those power games behind the scenes, I've never been interested in them. Bannon, I think, is a smart guy, but he trusted this author, and the author made him look foolish.
So you like Bannon?
I don't know him. I don't know him. I just think he's a smart guy who trusted this guy to do a piece in the book that, as you say, would put Bannon in the image of being the kingmaker.
Yes.
And it didn't work out. I mean, because the king didn't like the book, and so Bannon's gone.
So he's fired from Breitbart. Can Breitbart restore itself to what
I have
Andrew?
I don't know. Okay. You know me, Beck. I'm not involved with this ideological stuff. I don't know. I don't know how many people are angry about it. I don't live in that world.
Okay.
My world is an observation of what is happening and trying to find the truth. Not Oprah's your truth, but the truth about what's happening.
All right, so then I hesitate to ask you about your truth on Oprah Winfrey and her running in 2020.
She'd win. No, I shouldn't say she'd win. She'd win the nomination if Oprah Winfrey wants to be president. And again, I wrote, as I'm sure you know, a column for The Hill and on BillO'Reilly.com. Barack Obama is behind Oprah Winfrey. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is a return to power for Barack Obama if Oprah Winfrey decides to run.
Mm-hmm.
They're very close. Mm-hmm. That speech was not written by Oprah. It was written for her by professionals, I believe, supplied by the Obamas. And Barack Obama is furious about Donald Trump in every way.
Sure.
That his policies are being dismantled,
sure,
that he's being made to look as like he wasn't competent. He wants to return to power. Mm-hmm. What better way than to have Oprah Winfrey run, and he's the king, the real king behind the throne?
So
that's what's happening.
So I will tell you this.
The truth.
So here's what I find interesting. I really believe that if Oprah announces, just give her the nomination because she'd win the nomination.
Yeah.
And then and the next day, hold the election, because no minds are going to be changed. Oprah's not going to swing any Trump voters. Trump's not going to swing any Oprah voters. So let's just.
Wouldn't you like to see?
But yes, I would.
Wouldn't you like to see some good interviews with Oprah about public policy?
I would love that. And I'd love to see a debate. The question is, in the imaginary debate between Donald Trump and Oprah Winfrey, who ends up winning those with the public, do you think?
You know, it's hard to say. The Trump, he has 35% of the people behind him. I don't expect that's going to go down. If the economy continues to do well, he'll add another 5 to 7. So that's 42%. So he's competitive. He's competitive. But Oprah, you know, is going to bring the minorities to the fore. Everyone will vote, just like they did for Barack Obama. It's the same constituency. So she's got a real chance.
Yeah.
But
do you think there's a real chance?
Really on his game to expose what's behind the throne. Not one journalistic outfit made my point that I just made to you. Not one. That Barack Obama is behind this. They know it, but they won't say it. And that's another, you know, unbelievable deception that's going on in this country.
Do you believe she will run?
Hard to say. I know her a little bit, been on her program. She loves adulation. Okay? She loves it, just like Trump. Loves it. But criticism, she does not like. And you know, if she runs, they'll tear her to pieces.
Yeah. She'll never be the Oprah Winfrey that she even was in the 80s or the early 90s.
So she want to go through that for a year, being attacked every single day? That is the question.
Yeah. Quickly, Joe Arpaio running for Senate in Arizona.
Don't run, Joe. Come on, man. You know, it's another Roy Moore situation. Don't run. What is he, 80 now? Come on. Just let the regular Republicans run. I just think that's not a good thing.
Okay. Feinstein, can you explain what happened with her release of the Fusion GPS in under 2 minutes?
Yes, I can. The Democrats fear this scandal more than any other. It's going to be shown that Hillary Clinton's campaign was behind the funding of the Fusion GPS fraud. I don't know whether it's going to be shown, but it's certainly possible that once the Obama administration got the phony info, they brought it to federal judges and they got warrants to spy on the Trump campaign. That's enormous. If that's proven to be true, the whole Democratic Party gets hammered in a way that probably hands the election to Trump. So what Feinstein wanted to do was get out in front of this thing and to create doubt in the minds of people that maybe there was some validity to the Fusion GPS. That's why she did it.
So
how about
she,
that for an explanation? How about
that's
that?
Really, that's really good. She said that she was pressured to release it. She later said, no, I didn't really mean pressure to release it. I think she did mean that. If so, who was pressuring her?
Well, you have to assume Schumer and Pelosi are running the party now. And Schumer would be the only guy that could really put pressure on her. So, I mean, it's a guess. But I would say those precincts are the ones to look at.
Okay, one recommendation and then one last question. Recommendation. If you haven't seen Darkest Hour, you need to see it.
It was good. I haven't seen it yet. But
You have to. It's unbelievable. Okay. Unbelievable. Next, predictions for 2018. Anything that you think nobody's seeing this one coming, but I'm telling you, it's right around the corner.
Well, I think there's going to be some action on the Hillary Clinton Foundation front. I think that, you know, that they use that foundation for political purposes.
Yeah.
And enrich themselves at the same time. So I keep your eye on that. And as I just said, the Fusion GPS. And I would say that, you know, thousands of Americans are going to enjoy Killing England in 2018. It's a terrific book.
Wow, you are good. You are good. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com and the new book, the latest, Killing England. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me, England.
God
Happy
bless.
New Year.
You bet.
Bye.
Did he just call me Glenn? I think he just called me Glenn. That was a first. That was an important moment in our relationship. So there's a lot that you have to do. And I don't know about you, but by Wednesday, I come home so beat. I'm just like, I have to go to sleep. And I need a good night's sleep. If you are like me and you've had trouble sleeping in the past, or you're having trouble sleeping now, or you just really need a good night's sleep, do what I do and sleep on a Casper mattress. I get a great night's sleep on a Casper. It has a combination of foams, and these are, you know, patented foams from Casper. They went to scientists and put this together, and it provides the right pressure relief and comfort. And also this foam, unlike a Tempur-Pedic, which cost you thousands of dollars, this doesn't trap the heat. And if you've ever had a Tempur-Pedic, it's a fine mattress. If you have no blood, if you have no blood in your body, you're going to be great because it'll keep you really warm. If you have any blood in your body, it's about 1,000 degrees and you can't sleep. This is one of the first things that Casper changed. They got the great foam mattress and it doesn't trap the heat. This mattress is built to last for years and you'll get a great night's sleep. So do this. Try it for 100 nights, risk-free, in your own home. They're going to ship it to you in a teeny little compact box. You're not going to believe the mattress is in there. Open it up. I warn you, open it up where you want the mattress, because all of a sudden you open it and it's just like, poof, it's a huge mattress. They will ship it to you in a small little box. If you don't like it, you call them. They come. They'll pick it up. They refund without even asking you questions. They don't care. They want you to have a good night's sleep. So try it out in your own home for 100 nights. It's yours. Free shipping, free returns, casper.com/Beck. That's casper.com/Beck. You can save $50 on the purchase of select mattresses. It's casper.com/Beck. Terms and conditions do apply.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
I had a lot to say today in the opening of the program, and if you missed it, you can find it at glennbeck.com or theblaze.com/TV. But it was about, you know, empathy for Trump supporters. Empathy for anybody who says, I like the policies that are being enacted. I like Gorsuch. I like all of these things that he's doing with taxes and the environment and regulating government to some degree. I like the things that he's doing. But for the love of Pete, I'm tired of it's one thing after another in this crap hole comment, which I'm sorry. And it may be personal because last night there was an operation going on in Haiti with Mercury One and Operation OUR. And it was at the request of the president of Haiti, as far as I understand. And I know I'm praying for that to happen in Haiti. And I know what this president of Haiti is up against. And then our president says this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, our team is there right now. How is this going to work? So it just kind of struck a little close to home, and I've been to Haiti. And if you've been to Haiti and you don't have compassion for the people who are there, So I want to hear from you now. The next hour, I want to open up the phone and I want to just take a ton of phone calls on how you're feeling. You've been put through the ringer this week. And I, again, am finding myself in a strange position of not necessarily being a supporter of the president, but then being pleasantly surprised on how many things he has done, you know, declaring Jerusalem the capital of Israel. That's a really big deal. I'm for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But then all of the stuff that makes it impossible for me to tell my friend, you know, no, look, but he's got some good things that he's done. They won't listen to that. Not going to listen to that. He's making people's jobs impossible who want to support him. You know, he's been quoting Reagan or been comparing himself to Reagan a lot lately. So we did a search today, Reagan in Haiti. And we found out what Reagan said about Haiti. Can we doubt that only a divine providence placed this land, this island of freedom here as a refuge for all those people in the world who yearn to breathe freely, Jews and Christians? Jews and Christians enduring persecution behind the Iron Curtain, the boat people of Southeast Asia, of Cuba and Haiti, the victims of drought and famine, the freedom fighters in Afghanistan. I'll confess that I've been a little afraid to suggest what I'm going to suggest, but I'm more afraid not to, that we begin this crusade joined together in a moment of silent prayer. That's a president. That's a president. And by the way, that was the end of his speech accepting the presidential nomination at the Republican National Convention in 1980.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
You don't want to, you know, let me speak to the left here for a second. Do you want to know why so many people support Donald Trump? And that doesn't make sense to you because they have to put up with all kinds of crazy things, right? Doesn't make sense to you. How could you possibly? Let me show you why. In today's America, having a best friend is not inclusive. And that's a huge problem. Now, an emerging trend in American schools is banning kids from having best friends because it's not inclusive enough. Why are we letting all the people with crap hole come into our country? Yeah, really bad. Banning our kids from having best friends. That one affects my family today. I think I'm going to have to stand with the guy with the crap hole nation statement. Man, I don't want to, but this is crazy town. Do you ever reach a point where we're just too inclusive? Just asking for a friend. Yes. Does inclusiveness just keep going until our kids in a classroom are chained together all day? That way no one is ever left out. Let's handcuff all of our children together every day. Everyone goes everyone. Nancy has to go potty. Well, we can all go potty and there is no men's or women's restrooms anymore. We're all comfortable going potty with Nancy. Lunchtime, chained together. Recess, chained together. Playing Red Rover, gonna be tricky, but it's okay. It's inclusive. Here's Dr. Barbara Greenberg. She's a child psychologist. She writes, quote, "There is, in my opinion, merit to the movement to the ban of having best friends." She says, "The phrase best friend is inherently exclusionary." Yes, it is. It implies a ranking system which creates conflict. Yes, it does. And somehow or another, for the whole history of mankind, we've all made it through it. She goes on to explain that kids throw the best friend label around so irresponsibly that many end up with their feelings hurt. Oh, no! No! Somebody's gonna have their feelings hurt! No! In some sane cultures throughout history, that's called life and growing up. This trend is so bizarre on so many levels. But one of the main problems is with the left's attempt to change the language in order to change reality is that it doesn't change anything. Handicapped. Don't say handicapped. They're not handicapped. They're handicapable. Oh, you're right. That is not a handicap ramp. That's a handicapable ramp, which means that the handicap in the old days, the handicap would use that because they have to use a wheelchair because they're not capable of navigating stairs because they don't have legs that work. They have wheels. Okay, but that's handicapped. Handicapable means something entirely different. Handicapable means that we have to build a ramp because some people's legs don't work and they can't use the stairs. They instead have wheels and they need a ramp. Oh, it's entirely different. Did we learn anything from Jurassic Park? Man, I at times hope that a giant pterodactyl will swing down from the sky and just, if it won't pick others up, just pick me up and eat me because I can't take it anymore. Was it in Jurassic Park? Life finds a way. Let's apply that to just this. Kids will always find a way to have best friends. And yes, some will get their feelings hurt. And yes, somehow they will survive. Patrick Moore was one of the founders of Greenpeace. I think he's the first one to say, "Where are the pterodactyls to take me and eat me?" He helped grow the organization for several years. One of the founders of Greenpeace. Until he started to realize, quote, "Science and logic no longer hold sway at Greenpeace," end quote. The final straw for him came when his fellow directors decided that Greenpeace had to ban chlorine. They started calling chlorine the devil's element. Moore said, do you guys realize that chlorine is on, you know, is one of the elements on the periodic table? And that adding chlorine to drinking water was one of the greatest advances in the history of public health. But beyond that, you can't ban chlorine because it's on the periodic table of elements. He left Greenpeace and never looked back. Why? Because they were trying to change basic elemental things of life. Having a best friend, it's on the periodic table of life. It just is. You're not going to change it. I don't care what you call it. You're not going to change it. And it goes against nature to change it. You don't ban it. No matter how hard you try, it won't work. Stop trying.
It's Friday, January 12th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I don't know if I need duct tape to wrap my head so it doesn't explode. If I wrap my head in duct tape tight enough, it won't stop my head from exploding, but I at least have all of the pieces. So then when I go to the hospital and they see me with all the duct tape all around my head, they'll go, "Oh, he was reading the news?" I'll be like, yeah, he was. Yeah, good thing he had the duct tape when his head exploded. So we can at least try to stitch it back together. I don't know if you can. I think I'm beyond the duct tape. I think I want the Jurassic Park pterodactyl to come down, swoop down out of the sky, pick me up. I won't scream. I won't kick. I really won't. It'll swoop down from the sky. It'll pick me up by the shoulders. It'll take me to its nest. You know, maybe I have a few minutes of like, "Hey, this is kind of cool. Look at these giant eggs." And then it eats me. Or maybe I just die as it sticks its beak through me, you know, really, and eats me slowly while I'm alive for a long time. Even if that happens, I don't think I scream. I really don't. What I do is I think of the news of the day. And then I'm like, yeah, but soon, blessed relief from that. At least I'm not thinking about what Donald Trump said, what the Democrats are doing, what's happening in the media. I don't have to think of any of that because I'm being eaten by a pterodactyl. And I think I'm good with that. I think I'm at that point. So I'd like to see if you are at that point yet today. And open up the phones now. 888-727-BECK. Let me go to Don in Virginia. Duct tape, pterodactyl, or are you good, Don?
I'm good, Glenn. First, I want to say, listen, I've been listening. I went into 9/11 with Howard Stern on the radio. I came out with you.
Wow.
And I've been a listener ever since. So
thank you.
You have tons of credibility. I think at this point, though, it's safe to say you're going to have to concede the whole we surround them movement. I don't think we do anymore. I think for a while we did, but
yeah.
I think we're behind. So anyway, to the Trump thing, right? Out of all my friends, I'm the only one that didn't vote for Trump, right? All my friends, all five of them that I've done business with for 20 years.
Right,
so I know them. I know who they are.
All right.
Good guys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I went in there the only one basically mimicking what you've been saying, but in my own way.
Oh, I'm sorry
for
that.
Trying to get them to realize that, you know, this might not end out well for us.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand the Clinton thing.
Yeah.
So then I started following Trump's so I went in as a never-Trumper, mm-hmm. watching TV going, mm-hmm. I can't believe this guy is actually going to be our president, too.
Right, right.
Okay, he's our president. I got to get on board somewhere.
Yeah.
And then I started following some of his stuff, and I was like, I like this, I like this, I like...
Right? So and I'm with
up,
you. I'm with you. Don,
right. So I
we
up
were
with
just...
slogan.
Hang on just a second.
I don't know if it's
hang,
good or bad.
Hold on just a second. I just want to admire that moment for a minute. I just this week on this program, in this hour... We were like, man, there are so... We listed a whole bunch of stuff. There's so many good things that he's done. I wish he would just cut out all the rest of the stuff that's just so horribly agonizing. I really want to support him at this point. He's done some good things.
Right, and here's where you hurt me. Maybe the first time in 15 years. After I... Because I'm a stonemason, so I've been home this week because the weather here has been... terrible. So I've been watching this on TV.
Oh.
I watched his speech where he opened up the you know media, let everybody come in.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't follow the nuances of the politics like you can. I'm just looking at him like if I had to work for him or if he was one of my customers. And I'm like, I get it. This is what everybody sees. He does. He sits up there. This is his element. He doesn't come across as conceited. He comes across as a leader, as a businessman, you know? And then the next day I listen to you and you hate it. And I'm like, oh, my God. Now I don't even know. Do I like it? Do I hate it? You know, like, how do I feel about this?
You know what, Don, hang on just a second. What you said there is true about how I viewed it. I viewed that press conference. You probably missed this. I viewed that conference where he was talking about DACA and stuff. And I watched part of it with the sound off. And I actually said to my wife who was in the room, I said, wow, look at how presidential this is going to be good. And I turn it on and then I start watching it, and I'm like, okay, this is really good. This is good. Listen to him. And then he just started spouting things like, you know, hey, I trust you in the room and, you know,
right.
all that crazy stuff.
And then after I had the day, I'm like, yeah, I don't understand again, how you talk so bad about somebody and then all of a sudden be like, I can do business with that person. So the people I'm, like, telling this to, my friends who still support Trump, they're coming back with reasons. Like, I'm like, okay, I hope that's right.
Yeah.
I hope he is just playing.
Right.
Because the Pelosi's in the shoot, they're such...
They're horrible.
I don't know what the right adjective is, but their brain and my brain aren't in the same reality ever.
Ever.
You know?
Yes, I agree with you.
He can bring that over to my side a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though I'll never go to that side.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? But so for Trump, this is what I do, and it's hard for you, it's easier for me. I like him so far, I think, as long as I don't have to listen to him or look at him. Because those two things alone, I lose it. I jump off board.
You know what?
I can't do this.
Don, I think you're exactly right. As long as I don't have to listen to him, look at him, read his tweets, if I can just look at the things...
I don't do tweets. Right. Yeah.
Right. If I can just look at the things that have actually been done, just look at the things that he's actually done, I'm there. I just wish...
Can I give you one more quick thing where I get a little bit of faith for is that I'm starting to wrap my brain around maybe God sees that the problems here are so big that it takes that kind of personality so we all can see it. You know, like that could be. That's my only logical explanation is that he's above. You know, Ted Cruz, I loved, but there's no way Ted Cruz gets us to the point of everybody going, uh-oh, you know, or anybody. They just don't have that kind of personality. Even though I disagree with the way he treats people, the way he comes across, he's definitely better than me. I'm just a dumb stonemason. You know, he's president of the United States. So the guy's got something going on.
I'm not so sure of that, Don. Don't count yourself out. I mean, don't count yourself out. There's a lot to be said for, you know, the intellect, but there is also a lot to be said about the heart. And maybe he's smarter than you. Maybe he's not. I don't know. You know, there's lots of dumb things that have been said, that you sounded, you know, quite lucid there. And there are times that he does too, and times that he doesn't. So I don't know about that, but you also have to have an emotional intellect as well. And I think that's where he drops the ball. I don't think he has an emotional intellect. I don't think he doesn't see the pain in others. It's why he's so awkward, you know, at times of trouble. He doesn't know how to relate to that. He doesn't know how to relate to the poor and the downtrodden and you know, people who are just struggling. And you just kind of feel that, and that's not necessarily bad unless you're a psychopath and you're like, well, there's no pain for anybody. It's just about me. Then it's trouble. But he needs to up his EQ as well. Thanks for calling. Let me go to Alan in Maine. Hello, Alan. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi, Glenn. Such a big fan. What an honor to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
My wife's a big fan. My brother-in-law is a big fan. I mean, I hold you up to such a high standard. And to talk about this with you, I don't want you to think I held any candles for Trump. I still have a sticker on my truck.
Alan, we're all different. I don't, at this point, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter to me.
I know, Glenn, but I just respect you so much.
Thank you.
I just want you to know.
Thank you.
I'm pulling my hair out. I might need the duct tape, Glenn.
Okay.
Because I'm one of these Christians that have been here pulling my hair out for a while. I mean, I have to go home every night and make sure my kids aren't watching the Family Guy, the American Dad.
I know.
I mean, I don't see anybody out there worried about the Christian. I don't see anybody out there worrying about the next family, what they're going to do. I mean, everybody seems to be worried about Trump today. You know, I mean, what about Bill Clinton when he had that stain on his dress? Or, you know, when he came out and lied and said, I didn't have sexual relations with that woman. Or Obama when he came out and said, get off your high horse, Christians. You know, those things affect me every day.
Yes.
And I still hold those.
Yes.
I mean, I still hold those right tight.
I agree.
But for Trump to come out every day and be unpresidential, I mean, I have to go back and defend him to the people that know where I stand. You know, I have to defend him. But I hope he thinks about people like me that have to defend him every day, the little guys, because without his base, I don't know where he would be today, because right now this country is totally upside down, and there's no other place to escape to. There's no other America.
No. Nope.
That's what scares a lot of us.
I know.
I mean, you have more money than I do, but when it comes down to it, I mean, we're all human. We bleed, our blood's red, our hearts are soft, and they can be kneaded very easy. And what bothers me is this media that just kneads our hearts like it's a pile of Play-Doh. And it just manipulates today just like it was just like we're watching a soap opera. I mean, there's men out there, like that guy that was just on. I mean, a brick mason. I mean, I pound nails for a living. I live up here where it's colder than, I mean, I don't even want to talk about it. You live down there where it's harder than you know what. But, I mean, to talk about Haiti like the way he did, I mean, come on, Trump, come on. I'm getting sick of carrying this bucket of water for you, buddy.
Alan, you are very well spoken, and thank you for speaking from the heart. I think I share your concerns. I share your concerns. Thank you so much. That was a profound phone call, I think. All right, I want to talk to you a little bit of LifeLock. If you went shopping, you're probably like most people. 54% of holiday shoppers went to websites and did all their shopping online, which leaves all of that personal data out there for anybody to be able to grab. So what happens? 1 in 4 people already have been nailed by identity theft. one in four, 25% of the population, and that's only going to get worse. If you're only monitoring your credit, your identity can still be stolen in ways you don't detect, like a payday loan in your name, selling your information on the dark web. And when it's out, it's out. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. That's more than just your credit. This is an identity threat. If you have a problem, a U.S.-based restoration specialist is going to work to fix it with you. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock is the best at watching your back and uncovering the threats that everybody else might miss. Join now and get 10% off with the promo code BECK. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code B-E-C-K. That's promo code BECK. Save 10% now at LifeLock.com.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Today is the last day on glennbeck.com. We just haven't had a chance to get to these on air, where I'm talking about the predictions or the forecasting for the future for 2018, the things that I see on the horizon, and asking you to vote which ones you think will happen and which won't. It's interesting to me that most people disagreed with my my theory that the Dow is going to go up to 30,000 on its way to possible 40 or 50 in the last real buildup before a massive global collapse. That actually was down to the bottom of the list. The top of the list, companies are going to start embracing blockchain technology. And the really the top four seem to be five, seem to be about cryptocurrencies doing well. Check out the predictions or the forecast at glennbeck.com. The cryptocurrency and the economy part of my forecast released now at glennbeck.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So, Pat Gray is joining us, and I just want to go over kind of my stream of consciousness last night as I'm reading about what the president said. Mm-hmm. I wrote, really? Asshole countries? Really? Come on. Stop shooting yourself in the foot. This week, POTUS supporters had to defend him on Very Stable Genius. Even if I disagree with it, I'll sign it. A clean DACA first. And now this, please stop speaking.
It's been about a week.
Then I started getting attacked by people,
of course,
who were defending. And I said, please do not try to defend the asshole countries to me. I've been to Haiti. My charity is currently on the ground doing work there tonight. If you go there and that's all you see in the people, then you're blind. These people are trapped by a corrupt government, which many in the U.S. government have enabled. Then people were like, no, he wasn't talking about the people. My next tweet was, what's wrong with you? Seriously, what's wrong with you? He specifically was talking about the people. Why do we have to take all these people from these asshole countries? Let me phrase it this way. Why do we have to take all of these Jews from Nazi Germany? That would be about the Jews, not the government. One last thing. The latest excuse last night was, this is just the way the average American talks. You know, the guy who sits down at the end of the bar. Well, he's not the average American. And the Oval is not the bar. He needs to learn that. Pat, we were just talking earlier this week. We listed the things that we were like, I can't believe how good he's been on many things. Mm-hmm. And he, in policy, in the things that he's enacted, most of them I agree with.
Yeah.
And I want to like him. I want it. But you can't. You can't. Because if you do, if you're like, well, you know, Donald Trump, then you're immediately part of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It makes it, I feel bad for everybody who supports him because he's making it impossible.
It's incredibly difficult. And, you know, people have noticed that our tune supposedly has changed on him. But from the very beginning, we said, let's give him a chance. He's our president now. Maybe he'll prove us wrong. Maybe he'll do great things. Maybe he'll be more conservative than
we
thought.
We said, if he does well, we will admit it.
And there have been a number of things. And we've rattled them off many times, 7 or 8 or 9 really good policies.
Really good.
Especially, you know, something that I never thought would be done was declaring Jerusalem the capital of Israel.
Never.
And moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Well, let's not be hasty. It's not.
It hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened. But he has done something that nobody else was willing to
do. But then all of a sudden now, this week, we're hit with all the stuff that we feared and we found problematic during the campaign. And we're not blind supporters of a Republican president. We've said all along, let's see what he does. When we agree with him, we'll let you know. When we don't, we'll let you know that too. I mean, isn't that the way it should be? It's not.
It should be.
Some of his supporters, they don't care what he says or what he does.
I think the most honest thing that a conservative could say right now is, look, I like the guy. I voted for the guy. I like what he's enacted. I like what he wants to enact. But he's a mess, everything else. He is he's not acting presidential. I'm embarrassed by him. These kinds of things. But I support his policies. Mm-hmm. To say that's honest. But to make an excuse for every crazy thing that comes out of his mouth is nuts.
The other side of that equation is the mainstream media.
Oh, my gosh.
Who he can do no right for them.
Yes.
And they're insane in their criticism of this
mm-hmm.
guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama did as bad, if not worse, than he did yesterday. And they ignored it completely. And you got swept up in that. Listen to this. Listen to what Jim Acosta said yesterday about Trump and Haiti and Africa.
And we can tiptoe around it. We can dance around it and not really put our finger on it. But the president seems to harbor racist feelings about people of color.
Huh. Does that sound familiar? Like somebody said something like that one time 9 years ago Barack Obama?
Oh, my gosh. Play that again.
And we can tiptoe around it. We can dance around it and not really put our finger on it. But the president seems to harbor racist feelings about people of color.
That is almost exactly what you said about Obama.
Almost exact.
And that made you a racist, not him. Why is that not the case for Jim Acosta?
Oh my gosh, Pat.
And which is worse?
Oh, my God.
Seriously, and you and I agree on this. It was bad what Trump said, and I don't like it,
and I think it was ridiculous. I have to tell you, because I know his racehorse theory, Donald Trump does hold a eugenics, an old discredited idea of a superior breeding.
Well, he's talked about it, right?
He's talked about it. His mm-hmm. son talked about it, and his son says he agrees with it.
Yeah.
So he does believe those kinds of things. I think he does have a problem with breeding. And you can say that is, I mean, look, why is Haiti a crap hole and they're going to come here and they're not going to work and they're going to bleed us dry? But think this through.
Mm-hmm.
But Denmark or Norway,
yeah,
which is all socialized, give me free everything. Mm-hmm. They're suddenly going to come here and go, no, I don't want to live off the government. No, they're going to vote for all of those same things.
Definitely.
So one way or another, you could say we have a chance that either one of these people could come and just live off of us. But I think we have a better chance. The people of Haiti, who have never had anything, who just want a chance. I'll work.
Mm hmm.
I mean, I'd mm-hmm. rather have the Haiti people.
Definitely.
Than the people who have lived on socialism their whole life.
Yes. So all of that was not good. But which is worse? Why do we have people coming here from asshole countries? Or she is a typical white person who, if she sees somebody on the street that she doesn't know, you know, there's a reaction that's been bred into her. One is stereotyping an entire race of people who are white. That they are, they have a problem when they see a black person on the street, they're afraid of them. And they make certain assumptions because that's been bred into them. Now, that's the context into which you went into that statement on Fox News that morning.
Yes, it is.
Plus, the police acted stupidly. They were white. He was black. He didn't have the details. And he just assumed they were stupid.
Yes.
And did the wrong thing.
Yes.
I mean, they didn't have a problem with any of that. They wouldn't look into any of that. They didn't care about any of that. Anything Barack Obama did was perfectly fine. Everything Trump does is the worst thing ever done. And, you know, to a certain extent, this is bad. But could we just get a little perspective from the press?
Sarah, could you get the, could you find the quote of me from Fox that morning that I said, because I actually thought that I was really reasonable. I remember coming back. Do you remember that?
No,
day
I do
come back?
Remember that.
I would love to hear.
You weren't expecting the firestorm that
no,
came.
No, I came back and you and Stu were like, what?
Why?
The did you? Hell? And I remember getting off the elevator, looking at you guys and like, what's wrong? And you were like, what's wrong? And I said, yeah, I've had a really good morning. What's up? And you said, what you just said on television? And I'm like, what? Well, no, they'll understand that. They'll get that. I mean, I'm looking at all the, you know, I laid out the logical case and you both were like, no, they will not see that. They will not see that.
And they didn't.
And they didn't.
To the extent that they still quote it today when a story about you comes up. Glenn Beck, who once called the president of the United States a racist. Will Jim Acosta be going through that in 9 years? No.
Will Jim Acosta go through that in 9 minutes?
No.
For 9 minutes?
No, he will not.
He will not.
And your statement was also, you were wondering, I think this guy has...
Yeah, I said, I'm not calling him a racist.
Right.
I just, there's something to it. There's something not right. I feel as though...
Yes. Yeah, and then you ended the statement with, I don't know. Because we really didn't know,
we were
looking into it at the time.
There was something not right. And I will say the same thing. Look, I don't want to call the president, Donald Trump, a racist. I don't. But there is something in him that doesn't seem right, that I think he has a problem with people who haven't had the right breeding.
Hmm. And it could be white people. That could be white people, too.
Yeah.
Who haven't been bred properly.
Could be.
It might be non-successful people.
Yes. Yes. It could be.
Because he's a winner.
He sees,
and he respects winning.
He sees Norway and Denmark. He may see that as a white nation, but he also may just see that as a successful nation.
Yes.
And he sees Haiti
as
maybe
a
as a black nation, but as a failure. He sees
more
Africa
than, more than black,
as a failure.
I think he sees them failing.
Yeah. I don't know, but...
I don't either.
We should be able to talk about that. And it's weird.
Without hysteria.
It's weird, Pat, because I have a feeling we should try this. I shouldn't say this on the air.
Then don't.
No, I'm just
if
saying
Stu were here today, he'd be saying, don't.
No, there's a huge trap. I'm not going to say it. I will try it. Try it. Join me next week.
I'll okay.
See
all right.
Yeah, good. Yeah. We'll say no more. Okay.
Okay.
Forget. This isn't the break you were looking for. Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed. Happens on the Blaze Radio Network. Coming up in just a few minutes following this program at theblaze.com/TV or the Blaze Radio. You can listen for free. You can watch it if you're a member of theblaze.com/TV. Join us. There's a lot going on. All right, I want to tell you about Simply Safe. Studies show that security systems deter burglars. I can't believe we needed a survey for that. Yeah, of course it does. Of course it does. But there's a burglary still every 8 seconds. Why? Because there's a lot of houses that don't have a security system. Or you haven't hooked your security system up. You're not using it because you can't afford the, what is it, like $40, $50, $60 a month? What are you paying now? Let me recommend a brilliant security system. It is built by Simply Safe. It's ridiculously smart. It has sensors that will protect every point of access in your home. If a burglar does try to break in, sirens go off. If you want to pay the $14.99 a month, $14 a month, the police are on the way. even if you don't want to pay that, the siren goes off. It alerts everybody in the neighborhood and everybody in your house that somebody has just tried to break in. And with some of their systems, there's a camera that takes a picture of whoever is breaking in, so you know who they are. SimpliSafe. You'll even get a 60-day money-back guarantee, and you own the system. Only SimpliSafe. Go to SimpliSafeBeck.com. Save big right now. SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Glad you're here. Thank you so much for joining us today. You know, we can disagree on an awful lot of things, both left and right. But we have to use our head and our heart. We should be in a constant argument between our head and our heart. And it's the balance between those two things that make us truly human. But with all the things that are going on, we have to be able to find a way back to our unum, e pluribus unum, from many, one. We are now e pluribus pluribus, from many, many. And that's really the problem here. We're arguing as a collective. We're arguing for diversity at the same time that we're arguing no other point of view. It's not possible. If you want to argue with diversity, I am with you. But I can't stand with you if you are also arguing no other point of view. If we want to be inclusive, then we can't at the same time be exclusive. I started the show today telling you that I pray for less certainty in my own life. I think one of the problems that we have is we're all just so damn certain. I just know. What? And if I know that I am right, then I also know that you are wrong. And so my job becomes just to teach you that you're wrong and not listen to you because you're wrong. And that's what's happened. The only time we listen to somebody who has a different point of view is either we're listening for that space to where we can make our point and either prove them wrong or change their mind. That's not listening. That's trying to win. So we don't listen to each other. The only reason why the press would have somebody like me on now, because they despise me. They have me on because they think I can help them win. And I have been frustrated because every time I'm on, I say, you guys don't get it because you're not listening. We don't get it because so many of us are not listening. This weekend, make yourself a little uncomfortable and listen to those who disagree and see if you can find just something, one thing that is your unum that you can come together on.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.